Northwest London. I'll read this. Is it Hey Shvat, 31st of January, Rav Yosef Perlman, the longest word in the Torah.
Let me start off by saying that nothing, of course, in the Torah is just by accident. Everything has a particular purpose, and we know that in addition to the actual wording, there is a question of the length of the Pasuk, the Gematria, etc., etc. Just to give you a brief introduction, for example, there is one word in the Chumash which is the largest Gematria. Everybody remember it? Excellent. And it's the largest word in Chumash, not in Tanakh. There's a long one in Tanakh. And what's the point is that it was trying to show how far they were criticizing Moshe for what he was doing. So the Gematria tells us a message. Similarly, we've got the longest posuk, and we've got the longest word. Each thing this tells us something, and the shortest also tells us something. Anybody remember which is the shortest posuk in Chumash? There are many three word psukim in Chumash, and we say them. Many people say them on Motzi Shabbos in the Siddur. After Maariv, there is a list of the three-word psukim there, but the shortest in Chumash is the pasuk Uvenei Don Chushim, which has only got 10 letters. There's no other pasuk as short as that. And there, what's the message? The message is that Don started off as a very, very insignificant person, because Yaakov said, Gur Ariyeh Yehuda, but he said, as far as Don Uvenei, he said, Don, you should be a Shefifoin, or a Nochosh. So Don is absolutely, completely subservient to the great Yehuda. Yet when Moshe came along, he said, Don Gur Ariyeh. So Don developed from that small bit position to being the greatest. Now, there, again, the word order is significant. In the Yaakov said, Gur Ariyeh Yehuda. But Moshe said, Don Gur Ariyeh. Why did Yaakov mention Gur Ariyeh first, but Moshe mentioned Don first? Nothing happens by accident, and there's definitely a point to it. And the answer is very simple, that Yehuda was born very, very strong and a gibber. He was like a melech. So Gur Ariyeh, and then he became Yehuda afterwards, because he was first of all born like that. Mashiach King Don was born as a nochosh, a completely subsidiary sort of person, and then afterwards Don changed into a good Aryeh. How did he change? Well, we know that he was mitzaref with the Gedolim, with Yehuda, and as a result of that, whatever he did, Yehuda always had Don with him. As we know that when the Mishkan was built, it was Bezalel ben Uri ben Fula Mata Yehuda, Vachisomach the Ben. So they went together. And similarly, when David built the base of Midrash, David from Yehuda, he took with him Don, from Don. So they went together. And we're told in the Midrash that when Mashiach will come from Hevi Amenu, there will be Yehuda, will be from in Mashiach, but he will be assisted by somebody from Don. So we see that Don made himself great by being attached to Yehuda. Now all that is therefore merumas in the Torah, in the shortest pasuk. Similarly, we've got the longest one. Here I have a very, very interesting chida, which it's very, very, if you haven't heard it before, it's puzzling. The question is like this. In Parshas Vaero, we have a pasuk which is longer than the longest pasuk in Chumash, twice, and shorter than the longest pasuk in Chumash, twice. Now, do you remember this? Anybody remember what I'm talking about? Well, if you look at before the Makkah of Dom in Parshas Vaero, you will find there is a pasuk which is a very long pasuk, and that pasuk is longer than the longest pasuk, but
it makes sense.
What is it? No, I'm okay, thank you. Now, how can it be longer than the longest possible? Well, that's the chidai, that's the puzzle. But the answer is actually very simple, because we've got words and we've got letters. The longest posuk in words is in the posuk in Ishisa before the Egel, and that has got 34 words in it. However, the longest posuk in letters is in Parshas Re'eh, in connection with the Novi HaSheker, which has got more letters than the posuk in Kisiso, but fewer words. Now, but the posuk in Ro'eiro has got more words than the posuk in Re'eh, which has got the most letters, but it's got more letters than the longest posuk in words, which is in Kisiso. So that's the answer to the riddle, is that the posuk in Ro'eiro is longer than the longest twice, because it's got more words than the longest posuk in letters, and more letters than the longest posuk in words. And so what's all this telling us? And the answer is very, very simple. I don't want to go into too great length, but there's a Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnfeld once mentioned this. He said that when you have too much speech, too much talking, it creates an ego. If you go on for too long. And similarly, that's what he said. So I'm saying the same thing by the Novi HaSheker. If you go on too long, whether it's letters or whether it's words, if you speak for too long, you create a Novi HaSheker. So you don't make it too long. And that, similarly, in here, in the Makkos, the first posuk introducing the dam is very, very long in its way, and that was how it created the Makkos, because it was lengthy, a lengthy posuk gives you Makkos afterwards. So all I'm trying to point out is you can learn from these things. Now, so we've dealt with the longest posuk in words, longest posuk in letters. But what I want to concentrate on today is a posuk in this week's Sedra, which is possibly the longest word. Now, but we know that the longest word in the Chumash is in fact in Parshas Ro'eiro, over Misharoi Secho. When the Sephardim, when they went into Tanurecho over Misharoi Secho. And the Mephoshim ask, why choose the Tanur and the Misharos, these two items, rather than all the other things that they could have gone into, cupboards they could have gone into, any places, why choose these? And the answer is, because it wants to emphasize the hottest place possible that you could get. That you can't get a hotter place than the Tanur, and the Tzfardim, by nature, are cold animals, and that's what their name, Tzfardim, is. Tzafro, they know when it's morning. What do you mean they know when it's morning? They know it's going to get warm again. So they go back into the river in the morning so they shouldn't get too hot. That's how the Tzfardea got its name. So now, the Tzfardim, therefore, can't go into a hot place. Yet, here they went into the Tanur. And from here, that we know that the Misharoi Secho must be something like the Tanur, something very, very hot. And we know that the Gemara tells us that when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were told that they're going to have to go to do worship Avodah Zorah in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, they said, Noah, it's better we should throw ourselves into a kifshon or eish than we should do this. And they said, well, maybe not. We can take a hetayrim, we can get out of it. He said, but we take a kal v'chomer from the frogs. The frogs weren't mitzvah mitzvah, and yet they went into the hottest place. We, who are mitzvah mitzvah, kal v'chomer, we've got to go there. So that's the medrash. But I want to add to that, that's why the word of the Mishra Secho is written the longest word in the whole of Chumash. Why? Because it wants to emphasize how far you've got to go in order to mimicize the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that the longest word has its message that you've got to be compared to it. And that's why the Mishra is the only word in Chumash that has got 10 letters. There are 3 words in Nach which have got 11 letters, but for example, in the Megillas Esther, you've got the Hashtarpanim. But in Chumash, so what we're talking about at the moment, this is the longest word in Chumash. And that brings us to the next problem of the Gemara in Menachos and the Rambam, which I'm going to read out to you now, which brings a pasuk from this week's Seder. Let me see what tell you what the Rambam says. It says like this. In Hilchos Tefillin and Mezuzah v'Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, Sefer Torah shekesovo v'lo shirtut, o shekosav v'iksoso ala gvil, v'iksoso ala klav posuk. Ela o kulo ala gvil, o kulo ala klav. The Ketzad Kosin Sefer Torah, Kosin Kusiva Musukenis Noor Beyosa. When you write a Sefer Torah, it's got to be beautiful and it's the best possible way that you can do it. Yaniach, Ben Kol Teva Vateva Kimlo Osketano. You've got to leave a space between each word, so it shouldn't get mixed up, a space of a small letter, like a yud or a vav. Uvein kol shito v'shito, kimlo shito. It's got to look like a proper, beautiful ksav. The oirech kol shito v'shito, listen to this. The length of kol shito v'shito is shloshim osios. Every line has to be 30 letters long. Kedei lichtov. Lemish b'choseichem. Lemish b'choseichem. Lemish b'choseichem. That's the Rambam, which is based on a Gemara in Menachos. There's a shaila in the Gemara as to what the correct girsa is there, but that's what the Rambam's girsa is. Three times shlosha po'omim. That is the length of the length of a line in the pasuk. Now, why does Rambam choose the word lemishpachoseichem when it's only 9 letters in our chumashim? Our chumashim is chosavov in all our thing. And if you look at the Mishnah Shah, nobody suggests that we've got a girsa which is mole. Everybody agrees that it seems to be chosav. So we've got a problem here. You want 3 10-letter words. And then you could have taken over Mishra Secho. But the Rambam doesn't take Mishra Secho. The Gemara says it's got to be Lemishpachoy Seichem, which is in our parasha. But that creates a number of problems. Number one, why? Why choose such a word? Number two, if you're going to choose Lemishpachoy Seichem, we've got a Lemishpachoy Seichem in Lemishpachoy Seichem in a different pasuk in Bereshis somewhere. If I can find it, hang on, let's see where it is. It's in Noyach. Thank you very, very much. Balkur, well done. Right, so now, why does the Gemara not quote from the earlier words in Chumash, Lemishpacho Sehem in Noyach, Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Tes? Right, because normally when the Gemara or the Rishonim quote something from the Chumash, you choose the very first one which occurs. So why this one, why not Lemishpacho Seichem? Or you've got another word in Mikes, Be'amtecho Seichem, which is also 9 letters. So what's going on here to choose a word from our Sedra in Bo, which seems to be the wrong word to choose? Now, this creates a huge discussion as to what's going on here. There's a Rishash in Menachos, which goes into great detail on asking all sorts of questions as to what's going on. And the Shaila is, did the Rambam have a different girsa in Chumash from what we've got? He may have had a girsa of a Mishpacho Seichem with a Vav in it, and then it would have had 10 letters. So, why choose that word rather than of a Mishra Secho, which has also got 10 letters, and Mishra Secho comes before it? If you're going to tell me that this particular Mishra Secho is chosen because the others are Chosa, but this one is Mole, this one's got 10 letters, and that's why it was chosen. If that's the case, you've got the problem of a Mishra Secho. But the problem is greater than that, because most people hold that this cannot be the Pshat in the Rambam, because there could not be that he's got a different text from everybody else. It can happen that the Malach Chosek is one way or the other, but it's very, very unsatisfactory to say that the Rambam had a different text. So what's going on here in this particular parsha? So let me tell you the questions. First of all, as I said, it doesn't fit in with our Chumash. We've got only 9 letters. Secondly, why is, if there were such a Girsa, then the Minchas Shavuot normally brings the any alternatives. And it tells him that that alternative is not right. He doesn't even discuss it or mention it. If he doesn't discuss it or mention it, that would assume that, that our text is the universal text. Then we've mentioned the question, why not choose the other words from Noach, etc. We mentioned that already. Then another question, why does the Gemara talk about the Mishpacha Seichem? Why not just simply say, it's got to have 30 letters? Gemara could have simply said that a Shita has to have the size of 30 letters. So why tell us it's got to be like the Mishpacha Seichem? What's the Gemara going to Mishpacha Seichem for? And then, the next question is, why not choose our word of Mishnah Seichel? No. So all that is discussed, but we can't go into too much of the longness and the detail of it, but it could be that by saying 30 letters, you wouldn't know which letters to choose, because a Yud and a Vav is much, much smaller than a Chof or a Lamed or whatever, or a Samad. So it could be that to say 30 letters would be useless. It wouldn't tell us how long, how far it's got to be.
Say the word Benonim.
Beg your pardon?
Say the word Benonim.
Say for what?
30 letters Benonim.
Well, is that pshat? You say 30 Benonim. Maybe the Gemara doesn't want 30 Benonim. Maybe the Gemara wants 30 letters, of which most of them are a large. So it could be that a Mishra Secha would not work, because a Mishra Secha has got a Vav and it's got a Yud and it's got two Vavs and a Yud, so it would not be big enough. Therefore, the Gemara has to choose a word which would be suitable. So the Mishpacha Sechem is mainly large letters, and it could be that's why it chose it, to teach us that's the size it's got to be. It's got to be that size. And it could also be that by saying it's got to be 30 letters, what would happen if we, do we have to have a stop in between the 30 letters? Because it might be that you have to take 30 letters, but then you have to have, let's say, not 3 words, but say 6 words, because that would be normally, let's 6 or 7 words, in which case you'd have a gap 6 or 7 times, because that would be normal. If when it says you've got to have 30 letters, you've got to, obviously, you can have 30 letters one after the other. It's got to be with a division. So it could be, it'd be misleading to say that. So that's what they say. That's why the Gemara didn't just simply say 30 letters. We wouldn't know which 30 letters, nor would we know whether there are going to be gaps. Comes along the Rambam and says, ah, it's got to be Lemishpacha Seichem, which has got to evolve in the Yud and the large letters, but that's the correct size, and therefore that's the word to choose. And we choose it 3 times, because that would be, they give us the exact amount of the shear that we need for the Sefer Torah.
Plus 2 gaps.
Sorry, Ben?
Plus 2 gaps.
Oh, it could be with 2 gaps, like we said, half a letter each, and also you've got to leave a half a letter at the end, because it shouldn't go right up to the Gilead, this is the whole halakhos, etc. So that could be the explanation of why this would be. But then, in that case, it could be that the Rambam is agreeing that there's only 9 letters in the Mishpacha Seichem, right? But with the gaps, that would make it up, because you're going to have 30 letters altogether. So what do you have? You've got one suggestion is like this. You have a half a letter at the beginning, because you can't start right at the edge. Half a letter at the end, right? You've got 27 letters from 3 times 9 Mishpacha Seichem, plus 2 gaps, and you've got your 30 letters! So somebody suggests that that would be the answer. That really, that it has to be Shloshim, all told. Now, I'm not a sofer, and I don't know exactly how they do it, but this is what the Rambam says here, and I'm not sure, as I say, lemaisa, how the soferim calculated. But that would be that. But, having said that, I said to you before, nothing happens without a reason. Why choose lemishpacha seichem, and not uvamtucha seichem, or not uvamishar seichem? So we said, reason. reasons, because it may not be quite the right size, or maybe it hasn't got the right types of letters that we want. But Lemaisa Garet, we end up with the Mishpachay Seichan. And the Bafoshim suggest, that the reason of Mishpachay Seichan is because Mishpachay Seichan three times means we've got to be working together like a Mishpacha. When you're building a Sefer Torah, bear in mind, it's not just simply Ben Adam La Mokoim, it's Ben Adam La Chavero as well. Mishpachay Seichan, when we are preparing this Sefer Torah is going to be a lesson for all of us as to how we should behave. And we should behave like a proper mishpacha, working together. And three times is always chizuk. That's the number three times. And therefore, it could be, min ha-shamayim, it went out, that the Rambam decided that the size of the shura has got to be the mishpacha seichem, and that's it's got to be the one which will be will give us the message that we've all got to work together as a mishpacha. Now, if that's that's so, that would explain why it was the mishpacha seichem. But we haven't yet explained why this particular one in this week's sedra, rather than the other psukim. If we say that mishpacha seichem had 10 letters here and not there, then we've got a good answer. But if in fact each of them have got nine letters or whatever, then why choose this particular Mishpachay Seichem? We could have taken the other one. So the answer given, from what I've just said, would be, it wanted to choose the Mishpachay Seichem here, in the case of the Tefillin, in the case of where we are, in the Parsha, because that is the message of the Mishpachay Seichem. That could be that. Or it could be, there's a difference between a hey and a chof, Mishpachay Seichem and Mishpachay Seichem, and the chof is the right size, and the hay is maybe a little bit short, or there could be other reasons why this particular word was chosen. But if we say there's a message in it, then it makes very, very good sense, because when you're busy with your tefillin, or your Sefer Torah, you've got to make sure that you have in mind also not just stand to do the mitzvah, you've got to think of other people as well. When you're putting your tefillin on, make sure you don't disturb somebody else. Make sure you don't put the tefillin in such a place that irritates somebody who's sitting next to you. That's all part of the mitzvah. That's what we've got to do. We've got to learn that. Now, having said that, we're seeing that I would try to explain why the longest word, this is where we came in, of a Mishra Sef, we've explained it because of the tell us how far the Tzvadim went, and now Mishpachay Seichem is teaching us this message of family loyalty, etc. And that would explain the longest words. We mentioned the shortest pasuk, we mentioned the longest sukkim, what all these teach us. So now, I'd like to finish also with another parasha point, which is from a vort from my great-grandfather, Zichron Yivroch, the Kamenitz of Magid. It's worth hearing this. He says, you've got to be very careful what you say, because you never know what the outcome might be. And it will come back. Just like we said before, that every word in the Chumash teaches us lessons. So whatever comes out of your mouth, you've got to be careful that it should be correct. What did Paro say to Moshe in Shemais when Moshe said, I want you to listen to Hashem? He said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Kolo. Who is this Hashem that I should listen to him? Where should I listen to him? So the Kamenitz of Magid says, you are chutzpedik to Hashem. You are going to be caught out from your own words. Mi Hashem? Who is Hashem? Asher. When Asher will come, Eshma B'Kolo, I'll be forced to listen. What's Asher? Asher is Gematria 501. Tetzach Adash Ba'achav. What's the gematria of Tetzach Adash Ba'achav? 501. So Mi Hashem. Who is this Hashem? Hashem. When Tetzach Adash Ba'achav will come to me, I'll be forced to listen to Hashem. So he's saying, be careful what you say, because it will come back to haunt you if it's something which is not meant to be said. That's what he suggested with the Makkos. And it's well known there are other Ramazan in the Makkos. Everyone knows that Vo'eros, Valavov Aleph, gives us 7 Makkos, and Bo is written without a Vav, therefore it's Bez Aleph, it's 3, gives you 3 Makkos. 7 Makkos in Vo'eros, and 3 in Bo. That's, I think everybody knows that. If you don't, then you've heard it now. Now, so we'll finish off with the Tzach Hadash Barachav. Does that mean anything? When you've got a simon, does that have to have a meaning of its own? So we say Tzach Hadash Barachav, that's our minhag. I don't know anybody else who says something different. However, if you look at the Meforshim, they turn around and say no. Now, there is a machlokus between the Tiferes Yisrael and the Tiferes Yaakov as to whether a simon has to have a meaning or not. When the Gemara, one of them says, you find many simonim in the Gemara which don't seem to have any meaning, you make a simon because it's a way to remember things. The other one says, no, if it's got no meaning, how will you remember? You mix the letters up, you won't remember which is the letter. It's got to have a meaning so that that will give power to the simon. So the whole machlokus between the achronim as to whether the simon has to have meaning or not. And those who say it doesn't have to have any meaning, we'll call it the Tzach Hadash Barachav and finish. That's what we say. However, the Meforshim suggest that those who say that it's got to have a meaning say that the meaning is as follows. The Tzach is Ditzach. Ditzach is Chedvo, your joy. Ditzach. Adash, now there's 2 pshatim in Adash. One is to take the ayin and into gutra so you can have Odush, Ditzach Odush, which means, let me just get the right one. Ba'achav is, let me, I don't want to mix the 2 pshatim up, so let me, I've got it written down here somewhere. I thought I had it written down. Oh yes, here it is. Yes, here, well, let me read it out. This is from the right. Ditzach Odash Ba'achav, your joy will come up. Sorry, I'm mixing here. He says Odash means to keep silent. Keep your silent your joy silent for the moment, right? And Ba'avo, we are definitely getting the punishing of the Egyptians, they're getting all that, but don't be making fun of them. Let me just read it out. Why we should not be rejoicing at the destructions of our enemies, even the goyim, etc. There's a machlokus as to whether that's applicable here or not, because these enemies are avodah zarah. This is one shit, the Arak of Emden shit, and he says it means. One second. I think I'm mixing the 2 things up. Let's do it again. The Tosfos Yom Tov says that it means Ditzach, your joy will come odush when I grind. That's what dush, dosh, like dosh. When it comes, but achav with the sword. Achav is ichvas ivchas acherev, a pasuk which means the blade of the sword. So the Tosfos Yom Tov says the pshat is ditzach odash ba achav. Ditzach means your joy ditzach odash. When I grind the Egyptians with the sword, you'll be laughing and you'll be very happy. That's what the Makkos mean. Ditzach Odash Makkos. Comes along Rabbi Akiva and disagrees. He says, you can't we shouldn't be happy and joyful when Goyim are being destroyed. It's not the time for it. He says, the pshat is different. Ditzach, your joy, Odash, is a lotion of lentils, Adashim. It means keep quiet. when like Avelim get lentils because they're round like the eggs are round, because they haven't got a pear. So therefore, that's what Adash means. And but Achav, he said, doesn't mean a sword, it means but Avo, Ches and Her interchangeable. Your joy at the moment must be muted and silent, like Avelim accepting the hardships of Golas. Perfection until the time of Mashiach and Nigula Shalema, the Oz Yimole Sechot Pino. Those are the two pshotim in the December Dash Baruch. Thank you very much.
Thank you.